From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. In a 7-2 decision on Monday, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of a Colorado baker named Jack Phillips, who refused to bake a cake for a gay couple, citing his religious beliefs. While the decision was a devastating blow against equality, advocates pointed out that the court's ruling was quite limited in scope and that it did not offer broad grounds for discrimination in future cases. Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor were the only two dissenting votes in the case of Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission. Mr. Phillips became a symbol of the growing political backlash to LGBT rights in the nation and received major support from prominent homophobic organizations for his case. My guest is Rachel Lazar. She is the CEO and president of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Welcome to the program, Rachel.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Thanks so much for joining us. So this was a very, very highly anticipated decision. The ruling was one that many people on both sides of the issue were carefully watching. It became the sort of symbol of whether we were going to sort of go back to the era of people being able to discriminate against folks versus the sort of Christian fundamentalism that seems to have taken hold in some parts of the country. Explain what the decision is. Headlines keep referring to it as a narrow decision. What's narrow about it?
So it really is narrow. And in that sense, it's not sort of a major loss. And I think that's really important to understand. It's narrow because the court did find, which is what we would like it to find, that businesses that are open need to be open for all. And I'll quote from the decision. The court said in its opinion, majority opinion, that disputes such as the one that happened in the Masterpiece case must be resolved, quote, without subjecting LGBTQ persons to indignities when they seek goods and services in an open market. So that's all really important to keep in mind. The narrow decision was it did reverse the lower court's opinion, and it did that based on a narrow finding that the Colorado Commission on Civil Rights was biased in its decision making. So in other words, it didn't find a problem with the public accommodations non-discrimination law, and it didn't say, and this is really important, that businesses are entitled to distort religious freedom to deny services to couples like Charlie and David.
And that was the couple in question that were basically refused service by Mr. Phillips. Now, this ruling comes about 3 years after the very historic and important same-sex marriage ruling from the Supreme Court. Flies in the face of the trend we've been seeing at the court, but does the fact that it was such a narrow decision explain why seven justices backed it?
Yes, it really does for that reason. And that was made clear in some of the concurring opinions as well, like Justice Kagan's concurring opinion. She didn't even, you know, she sort of explained why some things were even said in Kennedy's opinion that were a little bit muddled and confusing. And, you know, she made clear that you cannot discriminate in the provision of services based on someone's identity. And so, you know, there was some little discussion in the opinion about it was actually Jack Phillips' brother who colluded with him and went around asking some bakeries to make cakes with hate language on them and where the bakeries refused to. And, you know, Justice Kennedy sort of talked about that. And Justice Kagan, in her concurrence, really made clear that, you know, the only problem there was the bakery not making very clear that it didn't provide any cakes with hate speech on it, right? So you can not provide a service to anyone. So you cannot provide wedding cakes.
And right, you could say that that's just something we don't do. We're a bakery, but we don't do wedding cakes, whether you're straight or gay or whatever, right?
That's exactly right. But if you provide them for opposite sex married couples, then you have to provide them for same sex couples.
Right, because you could say, I only do wedding cakes for white couples, but if there's an interracial couple, it violates my religious belief. That is generally not allowed.
That's right. Or if there's a couple of mixed faiths, or, you know, any other kind of cup. If you're doing wedding ceremony cakes, you do it for everyone, you know. And I'd like to say this as well. Hobby Lobby opened the door to this notion that a business could have a religious belief, right? So in Hobby Lobby, the Supreme Court found that this huge, thriving national art business could actually have a sincerely held religious belief that would allow it to deny access to birth control to its female employees. And that trend is continuing here. And that's very disturbing, that the court would be able to see ground on the notion that it's a bakery, right? It's Masterpiece Cake Shop is right. The case, not Jack Phillips. And that somehow Jack Phillips's religious beliefs are equated with the bakery's religious beliefs. Let me put it just one other way. When you make a decision to incorporate, you create a legal distance between yourself and your personal assets, you know, and your corporation. And there are a lot of advantages that go along with that, including when you're sued and, you know, not being able to get at some of your personal holdings. And so what this type of thinking says is you can incorporate and you can take advantage of the benefits of incorporation, but at the same time, you can use it to your advantage when you want to be able to discriminate based on your personal religious beliefs. Then you can meld your personal self with your business. And that's really a very negative trend that right. We're seeing in the courts right now.
That's having it both ways, basically. So the basis on which the Supreme Court made this ruling had to do with how they viewed the Colorado Civil Rights Commission treating Jack Phillips. So explain that a little bit, because apparently the court decided that he was treated in a hostile manner by this statewide civil rights commission. What exactly did that entail?
Right. And I'm not necessarily in agreement with what the court found, I'd like to say. I have a quote here. This is one of the things that a commissioner from the Colorado Civil Rights Commission said that they were troubled by. The commissioner stated, and I'm quoting from the opinion right now, "I would also like to reiterate what we said in the hearing or the last meeting. Freedom of religion and religion has been used to justify all kinds of discrimination throughout history, whether it be slavery, whether it be the Holocaust, whether it be, I mean, we can list hundreds of situations where freedom of religion has been used to justify discrimination. And to me," the commissioner said, "it is one of the most despicable pieces of rhetoric that people can use, to use their religion to hurt others." And what the court says about this is, "to describe a man's faith as one of the most despicable pieces of rhetoric that people can use is to disparage his religion in at least two distinct ways," and it goes on and on. So the court really didn't like that quote that I read you by a commissioner. You know, what I think that this quote was saying is that religion shouldn't be used and twisted as a tool and weaponized to cause harm to other people. Not that they're picking on someone's religion.
So because the Colorado Civil Rights Commission had used some strong language to make his case, that strong language was interpreted as a direct hostility to Jack Phillips's religious beliefs.
That's right. That's right. And that's the piece that is so sort of distinctive to this case and narrow, right? That it was within the particular circumstances of what a commissioner said as part of the commission's hearing that, you know, there was a bias, they said, in this particular case. Again, not that it was okay to use religion to cause harm to others.
So then does this ruling essentially try to say that civil rights commissions at the state level need to be nicer to those people who cite religious beliefs? I mean, is that the extent of the ruling?
I mean, to a large extent, you know, and we would agree that it's always important to be respectful of everyone's religious beliefs. Again, you know, respecting people's religious beliefs and the right not to believe, and, you know, people's religious practices and not discriminating between them is super important. What we're trying to avoid, and this case doesn't go there, what we're trying to avoid is a scenario where somebody like in this case, it would be a fundamentalist Christian like Jack Phillips, through his bakery, can use their religious beliefs to carve out an exception to a state anti-discrimination law, right? Because what that does is it puts one set of religious beliefs over and above all of the rest of ours, and it imposes one set of religious beliefs on the rest of us. And that's not what America is. You know, America is this intentionally vibrant and diverse experiment where we've invited in people of all different types. And how are we to thrive and live civilly and constructively together if one set of religious beliefs, and it tends to be the set of religious beliefs that have power in society. So, you know, you could say white fundamentalist Christian beliefs, you know, in a way. How can we live constructively, civilly, and peacefully in this diverse nation if one set of religious beliefs, in this case, white fundamentalist Christian beliefs, can sort of be imposed on the rest of us?
I can only imagine how this group of folks who back the baker would be frothing at the mouth if a Muslim-owned bakery decided not to make cakes for non-Muslims, citing their religious beliefs.
That's exactly right. And we would file at Americans United for Separation of Church and State, we would file an amicus brief against that bakery that you
just
described.
Such a bakery, right.
As well. And I'm glad that you actually brought up Muslims, because there's actually, you know, a connection here between this case, the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, and Trump's Muslim ban case, which is also going to come down one of these Mondays within the next month. And, you know, the connection is that both cases, in many senses, are about whether religious freedom can be twisted to cause harm to others, about whether we are going to accept a society where white fundamentalist Christians get to be all powerful, basically. So there actually is a, you know, those cases may not seem related, but in many regards they are. And of course, we brought it, Americans United, the first challenge against Trump's Muslim 3.0 ban for that reason, because we see it as a true assault on religious freedom, which was also at issue, you know, in this case, like we've been talking about.
Did the Supreme Court ruling on Monday on the case of the Colorado baker, is it being interpreted by the, let's just say, the homophobic side of the issue as a win? I mean, does this ruling essentially enable them to walk away saying, hey, we won?
You know, I was interviewed this morning by, I went to the steps of the Supreme Court to say some remarks. And afterwards, a colleague of mine pulled me over and said, hey, I want you to be interviewed. I was just interviewed by CBS and, you know, they're on TV and I want you to come and be interviewed. So I went for my interview. And after I said, do you have a card? And it turned out they were CBN, which is Christian Broadcasting Network.
I made the very same mistake a couple of days ago when I read an article thinking it was CBS and it turned out it was CBN.
Exactly. It can easily happen. But what I was going to say is that the interviewer did say to me, oh, you must be devastated to hear about the ruling in this case. And I said, no. You know, I mean, we're disappointed. Of course, we would have liked an even clearer ruling. But we are not devastated, because this is not a ruling that calls for devastation. You know, this truly is a, you know, limited in its scope type of ruling that is really based on how the court interpreted the hearing at the commission went at the time. So, yes, I think you're right. I think that, you know, Christian conservatives have been very strategic in this country. You know, there is a coordinated movement right now. It may have started with the religious right, but now it's really moved to a branch of political conservatives, right? Like we've seen in the Trump-Pence administration, that are using religion as a basis for discrimination. The Trump-Pence administration released it in a blueprint for discrimination from the Department of Justice. And they've been implementing it throughout their agencies, including at Health and Human Services, where, you know, one of their first interim final rules they passed said that all bosses in universities can deny women birth control on the basis of their religious beliefs, and in many other places as well. So we're really seeing, there's another, your listeners want to look into it. If they Google Project Blitz, B-L-I-T-Z, that's a document. It's like over a 100-page document. It's a coordinated strategy of all these bills that they're trying to pass in state legislatures that try to ruin the separation of church and state and allow for discrimination in the name of religion. So we're really in a moment of challenge and also opportunity to help clarify that religious freedom is about all of our religious freedom, not just about the religious freedom of a select and all-powerful few in this country.
Rachel, even though this was a narrow ruling and doesn't necessarily yet open the door to broad discrimination by corporations serving the public, shouldn't some of the liberal justices have known better than to hand, in a way, sort of a symbolic nod to these homophobic trends? You know, to see John Roberts and Elena Kagan side with the conservative justices on this was quite disappointing.
Yeah, you know, I think in these really controversial cases that the court looks hard for the narrowest way to weigh in as possible. That's their preferred way to go. And here they really found one. And they, I'm sure they love when they find an opportunity to all rule together. It doesn't happen very often, you know? And so here, yes, it would have been great if it was even a more clear statement. But I just want to go back to the fact that, you know, it's a victory of sorts, right? That it's very clear that the court does not say that businesses can twist religion in order to be able to deny services to folks like, you know, Charlie and David in this case. And, you know, just want to go back to again that, you know, the quote that I read earlier that they said in their majority opinion of seven justices that disputes such as this one in Masterpiece must be resolved, you know, yes, with respect to religious freedom, which we think isn't in conflict with civil rights, and also, quote, without subjecting, I think they say gay persons, I'm saying LGBT persons, to indignities when they seek goods and services in an open market. So let's just remember that all of the justices, all seven of them on there, so that includes the conservative ones, were also signing off on an opinion that said that.
Well, Rachel, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website where people can learn more about your organization.
Thank you. AU.org. Americans United is the name of our group, Americans United for Separation of Church and State. Our website is just AU.org. And please come join us, support us, and stand with us. We need you.
We'll post a link to that from our website. Rachel, thanks so much.
Nice to be with you. Thanks.
My guest is Rachel Lazar, CEO and President of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. We've been discussing the Supreme Court ruling on Monday in favor of a Colorado baker. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.